The story of the two house builders is a very familiar story for some people. This week marks the start of a new school year, and I know if you're parents out there, it definitely feels like a new year. And I always feel that it's a bit like an opportunity for a New Year's resolution, a restart after the summer break. So we're going to spend this morning thinking about the importance of building good foundations that go deep with God. Now, there are many ways that we can do this. And, you know, I'm sure if you've been in church for any length of time, you'll have heard lots of good things you can do to build up a good foundation with God. And they're all important. This parable, which means story, that we heard was told by Jesus and is found at the end of a sermon he gave to a great crowd. He'd spent time healing them and curing them. And then in Luke's gospel, there's this talk that is recorded. And towards the end of this talk, he gives four short pictures of ways that people may choose to respond to his teaching. And this story, the parable of the two house builders, comes right at the end. Jesus says that those who come to him and hear his words, much like many of the people who were in that crowd, can then choose to either put his words into practice or not. He compares two people who make these two different choices. Firstly, the person who, having come to Jesus and heard his words, then puts them into practice. Jesus says that this is like a man building a house who dug down deep, like we saw at the beginning, the digger, but there wouldn't have been diggers in those days. He would have dug down deep for some serious manual labor until he hit the rock. He would then build his house with the foundation on the rock. The other man Jesus talks about also comes to Jesus, hears his words, but does not put them into practice. Jesus says that he is like a man who builds a house, but without digging a foundation first. Now, as I said before, I'm not an expert in house building, and I'm certainly not an expert in the culture of Israel 2,000 years ago. But when I was doing some research for this parable, I happen to have a book called Jesus Through Middle Eastern Eyes, which looks at the culture of that time, and I found this explanation really interesting. In Israel and Palestine, villages only build in the summer. The rains come in winter, and the ridge on which Jerusalem, Bethlehem, and Hebron sit occasionally has snow. No one wants to build a house in winter. Summer provides dry, warm days suitable for building houses, but the downside is that the soil has got lots of clay in it, and in the summer it hardens and it becomes as hard as bronze. So it's easy to imagine a builder in the summer with little imagination or wisdom thinking he can build an adequate one-level house, which a lot of those houses were, just kind of one story high, on the hard clay. That wouldn't be a problem. He tries digging, he discovers that the ground is really hard like bronze, but it doesn't matter, it's only a small house, maybe one or two rooms. And it's hot, it's sunny. Does he really want long days of back-breaking work? No, he's just going to build his house as it is. Why bother digging down to the rock? It's down there somewhere, it'll be fine. So he builds it, finishes in time for winter, and is really pleased with himself. But that winter, there is more rain than anyone can remember, and the ground rapidly becomes soaked. A small stream starts to flow down his street, and the ground begins to turn into mush. The clay under the stone walls of his newly built house begins to settle and buckle. One stone after another pops out of the wall, and finally the wall gives way, bringing down the entire house. If the wall is not built on underlying rock, it will last only as long as the ground underneath it remains dry. And this actually happens, and it happened as recently as 1991, when in Jerusalem, an apartment complex collapsed. Unfortunately, everybody got out. But the investigation afterwards discovered that there was a leaking sewerage system underneath, and because the apartment, they hadn't dug down to the rock, the apartment then collapsed. The prudent, hard-working builder knows better. In the Holy Land in Jerusalem, solid rock is everywhere. You've just got to dig down through the clay to find it. You might only have to dig a little bit. You might have to dig loads, but you have to build your property on the rock. Knowing that brings this story into a clearer perspective. We suddenly understand much more what Jesus was talking about, just as his listeners 2,000 years ago would have gone, yeah, we know we've got to dig down to the rock. We know what happens if we don't. So we know that building foundations in Jesus' time was really hard work. No diggers, just manual labour. Jesus says that if we put his words into practice, it can be hard work, but it is the only option if we want our houses, our faith, to stay standing when troubles come. So hearing the Bible week by week and coming to church isn't enough. We need to understand what we're hearing and we need to put it into practice. The problem is, and I know I'm ordained, I know I'm a curate, and I know I shouldn't be saying this, but the Bible can seem overwhelming, boring, and difficult. If you've ever tried to plough through the book of Numbers in the Old Testament, or Leviticus, you all know that you'll go, what? What on earth is this all about? And how on earth can it do me any good? However, in Timothy chapter 3, it says, all scripture, all of it, is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's important to get to grips with this book because this is what's going to equip us for every good work and give us good foundations. So this morning we're going to explore a few tips of things that can help you understand it more, whether you're brand new to this book or whether you've been reading it for 30, 40 years or longer. These are some of my tips. I'm sure you've got some others. But the first one I would say is you start with prayer. Ask God to help you understand what you're reading and to hear him speak. In the book of Hebrews, it says the word of God is alive and active. It's not just a document that was written over 2,000 years ago. It's still alive and God still speaks to us through this book. By reading it regularly, we might find that we're encouraged or challenged. We might find things which apply to whatever situation we find ourselves in today, even though it's from a different time and a different culture. We might also find, if we know our Bibles well, a verse coming to mind or at an appropriate time to encourage us or maybe to tell someone else and encourage them. So after that, I would say, number one, don't read the Bible from start to finish like a novel. It isn't one. It's not a good story that you can just go and be gripped on. There are lots of different books, lots of different writing. I'm sure you all know this. There's laws and prophecy, poetry, songs, stories and letters to churches. It was written over hundreds of years and finished, over 2,000 years ago, in cultures very different from ours. If you're new to the Bible, I would say start with something you can get on with. Particularly, I'd recommend one of the Gospels. That's Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John in the New Testament, because they are a bit like a story. They're a biography of Jesus' life, and they are gold dust. But if you're regular, and you've been reading it for a long time, and you haven't ever read it all the way through, Don't shy away from the harder books. Don't shy away from Numbers or Leviticus, because there are nuggets of gold even in the hardest books if you persevere. Secondly, I would say understand the historical context of when the Bible was written. When I read this, I don't know whether you found hearing it, but I found reading it, it really helped me understand the story more. So I'd done some research to help me understand what was life back. What was life like back when Jesus was talking? So you can do an internet search, you can buy books, just to help you understand what was going on back then. Thirdly, don't read a passage just on its own. Look at what comes before and after. So as I said, this story, the parable, came at the end of a long series of stories that Jesus was giving and a talk. I would encourage you to go back and read the whole of Luke chapter 6 and the bits around it to get a better idea of the context. Otherwise, you can take things out of context. You might not fully understand what was going on. Fourth, I'd say use different translations. Now, these ones are the New Revised Standard Version. They're very good for being quite an accurate translation, but they can be a bit difficult to understand at places. Often we start children off with the Good News Bible, and I think it's actually a good place to start, the Good News Bible or the New International Version, because it's easier to understand. But sometimes have maybe two different versions and compare them, because that will get you thinking, why does it have that word in that version and that word in that version? What was actually going on? And if you're really into it, like me, there are apps and websites you can use where you can find the original Greek or Hebrew words and go, oh, so that's why that word has been translated differently. I love doing things like that. Five, read what's actually there, not what you think might be there. Now, if you're familiar with the story of the two house builders and you know the song, the wise man built his house upon the rock, that might be the only thing you focus on in this story. And certainly when I read it, if I'm not really paying attention, I'm like, yeah, I know, the wise man built his house on the rock and the foolish man didn't, and then there was rain and it collapsed. But if you stop and read it slowly and really chew it over, you might spot things you've never spotted before. When I was rereading this passage in order to prepare this talk, I noticed that at the beginning it says, everyone who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. There are three actions there which I'd never picked up on before. They come, they hear, then they choose whether or not to put the words into practice. So just rereading it slowly. And if you've never tried something called Lectio Divina, I really recommend that you research that and try it. Lectio Divina, it takes you really slowly, several times, through a Bible passage, and you kind of really chew it over. And sometimes that can be really helpful for spotting new things and just taking time to hear God speak. Next, read the Bible with other people or use notes or commentaries. We all bring our own experiences to the Bible, so it can be really helpful to read it with other people, maybe with a home group or with a friend or a prayer triplet. You gain other people's perspectives on what they think the Bible says. To get some really different ideas, read it from someone from another culture, which in our church is possible. Because different people from different cultures might bring their own perspectives. Last year, I had the privilege of going to an international event, and I sat and read part of the Lord's Prayer with people, someone from Africa, someone from South America, someone from Europe, and myself. And we read it in our own languages, and then we talked about it and what it meant, and I suddenly had insights into such a familiar prayer just because I was listening to other people from other cultures bring their understanding. Another one is to consider using Bible notes. Now, a member of our church has found these notes so helpful that they've kindly offered to help pay for the cost of them for a year for any church member interested. So if you're interested, do have a look at this copy, or I think Ian's photocopied some of the bits inside, so you can see what they're like. And then have a chat with Ian afterwards if you'd like to try them and see how they get on. So each day has a passage you can read and an explanation. Another option you could do is get yourself a commentary. I particularly like this For Everyone series by Tom Wright. I find it very readable, but there are lots out there. Some of them are shorter, some of them are more in-depth. It depends what you're after and what you're after, what you'd like. Just bear in mind that there are often different interpretations of the same passage, so don't just read Tom Wright and think, oh, he's a theologian, he's right. Maybe read other people's as well. There's also lots of apps if you go on your phone. And the Bible Society, who do a whole thing on Bible Sunday. And I noticed that Margaret's Thanksgiving service yesterday was taking donations for the Bible Society. But if you go to their website, they've also got some great resources. And finally, don't beat yourself up if you're struggling, if you're finding it dry. It happens. We will all probably go through phases where it's really dry, feels irrelevant. So don't be hard on yourself. Perhaps take a different approach. And if you've been reading it for years and you're in that position today, maybe consider trying something different to freshen it up again. So just in the last few minutes, I want us to think about, how are you finding reading the Bible? Do you do it at all? Do you do it every day? Do you just do it occasionally? Do you find it easy? Do you find it really hard? Is there one thing you've picked up from today which you'd like to think about further or put into practice? If you'd find it helpful, I have got a copy of my 7 key tips, which will be available at the back of church afterwards, and you can kind of read through, and I'm really happy to chat to people about resources or anything else at the end. I'd like to just finish by reading from Psalm 119. We're about to go into a series on the Psalms, and this Psalm 119 was a song written about how much the author, I don't know whether it's David, loved God's word. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey in my mouth. Through your precepts I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. There is gold dust in this book if we look for it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the treasure that is found in it. Lord, help us all to dig deeper and to find more treasure, greater understanding, and hear you speak. In Jesus' name, amen.